The sweet little girl in white.
The hall stood empty most of the year. This Easter it was taken by a Mr. and Mrs. Bott with their daughter, Violet Elizabeth. William's mother met Mrs. Bott at the vicar's.
"Oh, I do hope you'll come and see me, dear," said Mrs. Bott. "Oh, and didn't someone say you had a little boy? Do bring him. I want Violet Elizabeth to get to know some nice little children."
Mrs. Brown hesitated. She was aware that none of her acquaintances would have described William as a nice little child. But Mrs. Bott took Mrs. Brown's speechlessness for consent. William, pale and proud and dressed in his best suit, went with his mother to the hall the next week. An overdressed Mrs. Bott held out over-ringed hands.
"So you've brought dear little boy, Z," she began.
William greeted her coldly and politely. Then Violet Elizabeth entered. Violet Elizabeth's fair hair was not naturally curly, but as the result of great daily labour on the part of her nurse, it stood up in a halo of curls round her small head. Violet Elizabeth's small, pink and white face shone with cleanliness. Violet Elizabeth was dressed in a white, lace-trimmed dress. William gazed at this engaging apparition in horror.
"Good afternoon," said Violet Elizabeth primly.
"Good afternoon," said William in a hollow voice.
"Take the little boy into the garden, Violet Elizabeth," said her mother, "and play with him nicely."
William, with the air of a hero bound to his execution, accompanied Violet Elizabeth into the garden. Mrs. Brown's eyes followed them anxiously.
"What's your name?"
said Violet Elizabeth. "William Brown," he said distantly.
"How old are you?"
11.
"My name's Violet Elizabeth."
William received the information in silence.
"I'm 6.
He made no comment.
"Now you must play with me."
"I don't play little girls' games," he said scathingly. But Violet Elizabeth did not appear to be scathed.
"Don't you know any little girls?"
she said pityingly.
"I'll teach you little girls' games."
"I don't want to," said William. "I don't like 'em. I don't like little girls' games. I don't want to know 'em." Violet Elizabeth gazed at him open-mouthed.
"Don't you like little girls?" she said.
"I don't know anything about 'em. I don't want to."
Don't you like me?"
Her blue eyes filled slowly with tears, her lips quivered.
"I like you. Don't you like me?"
William stared at her in horror.
You do like me, don't you?"
William was silent. A large, shining tear welled over and trickled down the small, pink cheek.
"You're making me cry,"
sobbed Violet Elizabeth.
"You are. You're making me cry, 'cause you won't say you like me."
I do like you," said William desperately. "Honest, I do, I do. Don't cry, I do like you, honest." A smile broke through the tear-stained face.
"Oh, I'm so glad. You like all little girls, don't you? You do, don't you?"
William, pirate and Red Indian, woman-hater and girl-despiser, looked round wildly for escape and found none.
"You do like all little girls, don't you?"
she persisted with a quavering lip.
"You do, don't you?"
It was a nightmare to William. They were standing in full view of the drawing-room window.
"Yes, I do," he said hastily. "I do, honest, I do."
She smiled again, radiantly through her tears.
"You wish you were the little girl, don't you?"
Yes, honest, I do," said the unhappy William.
"Kiss me,"
she said, raising her glowing face. William was broken. He brushed her cheek with his.
"That's not a kiss,"
said Violet Elizabeth.
It's my kind of kiss," said William.
"All right. Now, let's play fairies. I'll show you how."
Never had the comradeship of his own sex seemed sweeter to William than it did the next day when he set off whistling carelessly, Jumble at his heels, to meet Ginger and Douglas across the fields. "What'll we do this morning?" said Ginger. It was sunny. It was holiday time. They had each other and a dog. Boyhood could not wish for more. The whole world lay before them.
"Let's go trespassing," said William.
"Where?" inquired Douglas.
"Hall Woods and take Jumble." "Well, that old keeper said he'd tell our fathers if he caught us in there again," said Ginger.
"Let him," said William, with a daredevil air. The nightmare memories of yesterday were growing faint. They entered the woods, William leading. He swaggered along the path. Yesterday was a dream. It must have been. He'd never played at fairies with a girl. He, William, the pirate king, the robber chief.
William!
He turned, his proud smile frozen in horror. A small figure was flying along the path behind them, with elaborate curls and very short, lacy, bunchy skirts.
William, darling, I saw you from the nursery window coming along the road, and I escaped. Oh, William, darling, play with me again, do. It was so nice yesterday.
William glared at her, speechless. Go away, he said at last. We aren't playing girls' games.
We don't like girls, said Ginger contemptuously.
William does, she said indignantly. He said he did. He said he liked all little girls. He said he wished he was a little girl. He kissed me and played fair with me.
A glorious blush of a rich and dark red overspread William's countenance. Oh, he said, but it was not convincing.
You did,
said Violet Elizabeth, and somehow that was convincing. Ginger and Douglas looked at William rather coldly. Even Jumble seemed to look slightly ashamed of him.
Well, come along, said Ginger. We can't stop here all day talking to a girl.
But I want to come with you, said Violet Elizabeth. I want to play with you.
We're going to play boys' games. You wouldn't like it, said Douglas.
I like boys' games, pleaded Violet Elizabeth,
and her blue eyes filled with tears.
Please let me come.
All right, said William. We can't stop you coming. Don't take any notice of her. She'll soon get tired of it.
And they set off. In a low-lying part of the wood was a bog. It was quite possible to skirt this bog by walking round it on the higher ground, but William and his friends never did this. Violet Elizabeth was trotting gaily behind the gallant band. They did not turn round or look at her, but they couldn't help seeing her out of the corners of their eyes. She plunged into the bog with a squeal of delight.
Oh, isn't it lovely? Doesn't it feel nice? All squiffy between your toes. Oh, isn't it lovely? I like boys' games.
They could not help looking at her when they emerged. As fairy-like as ever above, her feet were covered with black mud up to above her socks. William and his band remembered their manly dignity and strode on. She followed with short, dancing steps. Soon they came to a clear space in the wood, occupied chiefly by giant blackberry bushes laden with fat, ripe berries. They fell upon the bushes. Violet Elizabeth also fell upon the bushes. Gradually, her pink and white face became obscured beneath a thick covering of blackberry juice stain. Her hands were dark red. The brambles tore at her curled hair and drew it into that state of straightness for which nature had meant it. And still she ate.
Oh, isn't it fun? I like boys' games.
They gazed at her with horrified respect, then set off again through the wood. Under a large tree, William stopped.
Now we'll be Red Indians, he said, and go hunting. I'll be Braveheart, same as usual.
And what shall I be?
Said the torn and stained and wild-headed apparition that had been Violet Elizabeth.
Well, said William, I suppose she'd better be a squaw.
A squaw? Said Violet Elizabeth joyfully. What sort of noise does it make?
It's a Indian lady, and it doesn't make any sort of noise, said Ginger crushingly. Now we're going out hunting, and you stay and cook the dinner.
All right,
said Violet Elizabeth obligingly.
Kiss me goodbye.
Ginger stared at her in horror. She held up her small face.
Please, Ginger.
Blushing to his ears, Ginger just brushed her cheek with his. William gave a derisive snort. His self-respect had returned. When the Red Indian game had palled, they set off single file as before. Another small bog glimmered ahead. Violet Elizabeth, drunk with her success as a squaw, gave a scream, ran to the bog, slipped, and fell into it face forward. She arose at once. She was covered in black mud from head to foot. Her face was a black mud mask. Through it, her teeth flashed in a smile.
I just slipped, she explained.
A man's voice suddenly came from the main path through the wood at their right.
Look at them, the young rascals! Look at them, and a dog! Blast them!
Keepers, said William. Run for your lives.
They fled through the thicket.
Oh, please,
gasped Violet Elizabeth in the rear.
Please, I can't run as fast as that.
Into Mr. Bott's library were ushered two keepers, each leading two children by the neck. One held two rough-looking boys, the other held a rough-looking boy and a rough-looking girl. A dejected-looking mongrel followed the procession.
Trespassing, sir, said the first keeper. Old hands, too. They want prosecuting, if I may make so bold, sir.
Mr. Bott, who was new to squiredom, and moreover was afflicted at the moment with severe domestic worries, cast a harassed glance at the four children. His glance rested upon Violet Elizabeth without the faintest flicker of recognition. He did not know this little creature with the torn, stained, bedraggled dress, whose extremely dirty face could just be seen beneath the tangle of untidy hair. She watched him silently and cautiously. Just as he was going to speak, Violet Elizabeth's nurse entered. It says much for Violet Elizabeth's disguise that her nurse only threw her a passing glance.
"Oh, please, sir, Mrs. Bott says, is there any news?"
"No," said Mr. Bott desperately. "Tell her I've rung up the police every minute. How is she?"
"Oh, please, sir, she's in hysterics again."
Mr. Bott groaned. Suddenly he turned to the four children and the keepers.
"You've got their names and addresses, haven't you? Well, see here, children, go out and see if you can find my little gal for me. She's lost. Look in the woods and round the village and everywhere. And if you find her, I'll let you off, see?"
They murmured perfunctory thanks and retired, followed by Violet Elizabeth, who had not uttered one word. In the woods, the outlaws turned on her sternly.
"It's you he wants, you're her."
"Yes,"
agreed the tousled Violet Elizabeth sweetly.
"It's me."
"Well, we're going to find you and take you back."
"Oh, please, I don't want to be found and taken back. I like being with you."
"Well, we can't keep you about with us all day, can we?" argued William sternly. "You've got to go home sometime, and we jolly well want our dinner now."
"All right,"
agreed Violet Elizabeth, holding up her face.
"If you'll all kiss me, I'll be found and took 'em back."
The four of them stood again before Mr. Bott's desk.
"We've found her," said William.
"Where?" said Mr. Bott, looking round.
"It's me,"
piped Violet Elizabeth. Mr. Bott started.
"You?"
he said in amazement.
"Yes, Father, it's me."
But it's impossible."
Then he took a deep breath.
"Fetch her mother," he said.
Like a tornado entered Mrs. Bott. She enfolded Violet Elizabeth to her visibly palpitating bosom.
"Oh, my child! Oh, my darling child!"
"I was a squaw," said Violet Elizabeth. "It doesn't make any sort of noise. It's a lady."
"These boys found her," said Mr. Bott.
"Oh, how kind, how noble," said Mrs. Bott. "And one's that nice little boy who played with her so sweetly yesterday. Give 'em 10 shillings each, Botty."
Well, hesitated Mr. Bott, remembering the circumstances in which they'd been brought to him.
"Botty, don't you value your darling child's life at even 30 shillings?
Hastily, Mr. Bott handed them each a 10-shilling note. The outlaws tramped homewards by the road. "Well, it's turned out all right," said Ginger, fingering the 10-shilling note in his pocket. "But it might not have. Except for the money, it jolly well spoilt the morning."
"Girls always do," said William. "I'm not going to have anything to do with any old girl ever again."
"It's all very well saying that," said Douglas, who had been deeply impressed that morning by the inevitableness and deadly persistence of the sex.
"It's all very well saying that. It's them what has to do with you."
"And I'm never going to marry any old girl," said William.
"It's all very well saying that," said Douglas again, gloomily.
"But some old girl'll probably marry you."